أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we'll be examining the 19th juz. I got some feedback, and some of the feedback said that, you know, I should, before maybe delving into a passage in detail, which is what we've been doing for the past few days, just give a brief glimpse of the juz, highlight a few important passages for the ones who are listening in Taraweeh, just so they can kind of, you know, tune some of them. So I think we'll do that for a few minutes, about 15-20 minutes in the beginning, just to skim over the juz and see what's you know, what stands out. MashaAllah, every ayah is something to consider and study, but just something that really stands out. And then inshallah from there we'll go forward. So I'm going to do it inshallah that way, just a brief overall glimpse, and then we'll delve into a particular passage or two. We will inshallah start. The mic has started as well, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, Muhammad. We'll start in Surah Furqan today. Surah Furqan. So the surahs that we're doing today are surah number 25, which is Surah Furqan, as you can see on the screen. Then the surah 26, Shu'ara. And then a bit of surah 27, Naml. That's the juz, that's juz number 19. That consists of juz number 19. All of these surahs talk about how the Qur'an, or rather the message of the prophets, is the truth. Now you can say that every surah talks about that anyway, but there's some particular subtleties between each surah, how it presents the same topic. You see, Surah Furqan is focused more on the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how his message is the truth, his, like, the criticism that he received. So for example, we will see in the very beginning, Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Blessed is the one who has sent down the Furqan, the book or the guide that differentiates between truth and falsehood, عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ, on his slave, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. So he can be a warner for all people of all times. So it starts talking about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions also, for example, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ إِفْتَرَى وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ. Criticism of the Prophet ﷺ, that Quraysh levied at him, that he is not really a prophet. He is, this is إِفْكٌ إِفْتَرَى, this is something he's making up. And, you know, other people, أَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ, ayah number 4. Others are helping him in doing this. And other criticisms of the Prophet, that this is fables, asatir al-awwaleen, that he's made it up. Mali hadha rasul ya'kulu at-ta'am, what's with this mess prophet that he eats food and he's walking around with us? Why, how come there is no angel? Lawla unzila ilayhi malak, that an angel should be with him. You know, when we see people who are important, there's always a guard with them. Somebody's always with them, a bodyguard. So how come there's no angel bodyguard if he's really that special? And even back in the day, every special person had an entourage of a bunch of people and slaves who were, you know, just at their service. So they're saying, "How? What's with this messenger? If he's so special, how come there is nobody that is around him? No entourage. He's just by himself. Why not an angel?" So all these things the Quraysh would said to him, they're mentioned. Also, for example, what's mentioned in this surah, particularly is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says in ayah number 30, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا, in which the Messenger says, "My Lord, my people have taken this book and have deserted it and abandoned it." Right? This is something he could say on the Day of Judgment. This is something he could have said when he was alive, or it could be both. He said it when he was alive, and he would say it again on the Day of Judgment. Allah knows best. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, it's in the past tense. Maybe he's already said it. Maybe he'll say it in the future on the Day of Judgment. But the point to notice here is, it's criticism of the Prophet ﷺ, and it is Prophet ﷺ saying stuff. And also, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. How come this Qur'an is revealed piecemeal? Why is it not revealed in one shot? This is a criticism of the Quran in particular, that is mentioned. And things that are related to the Prophet ﷺ are mentioned. إِذَا رَأَوْكَ when they see you, إِن يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا all they do is make fun of you. All they do is make fun of you. So it is particularly, the message is very specific about the Messenger ﷺ. Surah Furqan also, by the way, has the incredible passage at the very end. The very end of Surah Furqan is a passage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. We'll come back and study this passage in a little bit more detail, where Allah describes the slaves of the Most Merciful, the Sahaba, when the ayah was revealed, and everybody else who follows them, and how they are a proof of the truth of the message. How the followers of the Prophet ﷺ are a proof that this message is true. Because it's not possible for people who are this incredible to become so incredible unless the message that makes them, that transforms them, is incredible as well. The Sahaba were normal people. All of a sudden they're transformed and they're changed into incredible people over some time, 23 years. But what changed and transformed them has to be an incredible message. So he presents that as a proof as well and describes them, and that's the end of Surah Furqan. Surah Shu'ara is on the same theme, Surah number 26, that this is a message, that this message is the message of the truth. But now historical evidence is given. How the truth in the message of the prophets, historically, how that the historical evidence is presented for that. And also particularly, for example, that there has been criticism of the every prophet has been criticized. That idea is brought back and demonstrated again. So Surah Shu'ara begins by describing the story of Musa alayhi salam, and hopefully we'll get some time to just glimpse through this story and his encounter with the magicians of Fir'aun. It's mentioned here in Surah Shu'ara number 26. The story is also mentioned in Surah A'raf, Surah number 7. But here it comes with a bit more details, and it has a nice little flow. So hopefully we'll get some time to look at this. Also mentioned is the fleeing of Musa alayhi salam. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of Musa alayhi salam against the odds, and he took his Bani Israel across the sea, to the point where, for example, in فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمَعَانِ ayah number 61, when the two groups saw each other, Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel fleeing, and Fir'aun's army catching up to them, and they're at the Red Sea, or they're at the Dead Sea, sorry. قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ Bani Israel starts saying, that's it, we're caught, we're done, it's all over. But Allah, Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ No, absolutely not, my master is with me, and he will guide me. And then immediately the miracle of splitting the sea and taking the Bani Israelis across the sea. That's mentioned here. Also mentioned is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's having a debate with his people, not his father, that was in Surah Maryam. Here he's having a debate with his people, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, that is a really powerful dua. He says, you know, and Ibrahim alayhi salam's usage of logic to prove why Allah is the one who is worthy of worship. For example, in ayah number says, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ Ayah number 78 says that he is the one who created me, so he is the one who is guiding me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ He is the one who feeds me and gives me water. He nourishes me, he takes care of my needs. Because eating and drinking, those are the two most fundamental needs of a human being. So he says, he takes care of that for me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ And when people, then they inevitably get sick. Could you please turn the lights on? وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ When I am ill, he is the one who gives me the cure. We're having technical difficulties. Alright, we're back. Okay. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ When I get sick, he's the one who gives me cure. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ He's the one who will cause me to die, and then will bring me back to life one more time. He's using evidences, logical proofs, to show that Allah is the one who's supposed to be worshipped, and that is the truth of the message. وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. His beautiful dua, I am hoping that He will forgive my sins on the Day of Judgment. Master, هَبْ لِي حُكُمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Ayah 83. Give me authority. Also, حُكُم means wisdom as well. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And join me with the righteous. SubhanAllah, Ibrahim al-Islam, there's probably nobody more righteous than him and other prophets like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Musa and Isa and Nuh. This is the elite group of prophets. Nobody is above them. But here is one of these incredible people saying, "Alhiqni bi salihin." Just join me with the righteous. Remember, I said the righteous is one rank, is the lowest rank. I apologize, but there is somebody messaging me. Okay, stop messaging me, please. Sorry about that. Al-Hiqni bis-Salihin. What's interesting is, Salihin is the lowest. You have the Prophets, Nabiyin, Siddiqeen below them, who were very quick to follow the Prophets, very truthful in their following of the Prophets. Shuhada, they're extroverts who do a lot, and they're very active. And lastly, you have Salihin. It's like the lowest level that Allah gives out in Surah An-Nisa. So he's saying, just meet me, you know, just let me hang out with the people at the lowest level. And he is at the top level himself. He's the most elite of the elite prophets. To show the humility, just give me good people to live with, just give me good company to hang out with. And he's saying this after he's talked to his people, because he's fed up of living around people who don't believe. Right? Shows the importance of good company and the importance of seeking good company. Then he says, وَجَعَلْنِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And give me a reputation, a good reputation after I have died. وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. And make me the inheritor of the gardens of pleasure. Right, وَغْفِرْ لِي أَبِي. And forgive my father. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. And don't disgrace me the day that they're all resurrected. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The day where no material asset or monetary asset will be of any good. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for the one who comes to Allah with a pure heart, with a pure conscience. That's the one who will be able to get through that day. So this story is mentioned. Then the story of Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned. The story after Nuh alayhi salam is Nuh alayhi salam's story is mentioned. Then the story of كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The story of I skipped one prophet here. Sorry, you can just go back. Right here. The story of Aad is mentioned. Aad, Hud alayhi salam and Aad. Historic sequences. We're back to the historic sequence. They're mentioned. And Hud alayhi salam says to Aad that, you know, مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. You will notice in this, the next few stories, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, Hud, Salih, Shu'aib, and Lut. These are five stories that are mentioned here. Right, you will notice one very fascinating trend. Okay, in fact, let's notice two very fascinating trends. Let's go through the ayat. The screen is here, inshallah. I want you to see if you can pick that up. Okay, first, I'm going to read the ayat. Okay, it says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ نُوحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. When their brother Nuh said to them, "Won't you fear Allah?" Okay, the thing to notice is, أَخُوهُمْ نُوحٌ. Okay, that's number one. And number two, what does Nuh alayhi salam say? Inni lakum rasulun amin. I am to you a trustworthy messenger. Fattaqullaha wa ati'un. So fear Allah and obey me. Fear Allah and obey me. Wama as'alukum alayhi min ajrin in ajriya illa ala rabbil alameen. And I'm not asking you for any money. All the reward I'm going to get is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? That is one thing. Now let's look at what Hud alayhi salam says. كذبت عاد المرسلين إذ قال لهم أخوهم هود. When their brother Hud said, ألا تتقون. Remember? Brother is mentioned again. Okay? إني لكم رسول أمين. Exact same words. I am sent to you, I am for you, a trustworthy messenger. وَمَا فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Exact same words. Fear Allah and obey me. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I'm not asking you for any money, my reward is with Allah. Exact same words. Then the next prophet is in ayah number 141. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. This is وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. صَالِحَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَام. What does صَالِحَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَام say? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ. Three times we saw أَخُوهُمْ. When their brother Salih said to them, won't you have fear of Allah? Won't you fear Allah? And what did he say exactly? Inni lakum rasulun amin. I am to you a trustworthy messenger. Fattaqullaha wa ati'un. Fear Allah and obey me. Wa ma as'alukum alayhi min ajrin in ajriya illa ala rabbil alamin. I'm not asking you for any money. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Then the next one is Lut alayhi salam. Kadhabat qawm Lutin al mursaleen. Idh qala lahum akhuhum Lutun. Fourth time we see a prophet being mentioned as their brother. When their brother Lut alayhi salam said, Ala tattaqoon. Exactly the same thing. Inni lakum rasulun amin. I am to you a trustworthy messenger. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. So fear Allah and obey me. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. And I'm not asking you for any money. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not asking you for any compensation. Do you notice in all the four prophets, they are mentioned the same way and they are saying the exact same thing. Exactly the same words are said. And the reason for that is to show, this is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have another way of describing what was said. He's doing this on purpose. This repetition is purposeful. The purpose is to show the unity of the message. The unity of the message. Every messenger throughout the years, throughout the history of humanity, said the same thing. And it doesn't matter what language they said it in, who it was said to, but the message was unified. SubhanAllah, it's so powerful. That's what makes it the truth. That's what makes it the truth. That the message that we are following, it's no different than the message that was given to people before us. That shows that unification over the years shows us the truth. Any discrepancy shows that there's something wrong. When a Christian says, well, we should believe in Jesus Christ, He is the path to salvation because He is the Son of God. Well, that's not historically the message. Historically, the message was worship God and nobody else. That shows that there's some weakness, there's a change. Change, like, you know, revision and amendments are usually a sign of shortcoming. Right? So that shows there's something wrong here. That's why you change the message. But the unification of it shows that it is, you know, strong. It's the truth. That's the truth. Now, what's really interesting is the next prophet mentioned is Shu'aib alayhi salam. Let's look at what Shu'aib alayhi salam says. كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Al-Ayka denied the messengers. This is ayah number 176. Okay. The companions of the thicket, Ayka was the tree that they would worship. Okay? Now, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ, not أَخُوهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ. Do you notice? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ, not أَخُوهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ. All the four times we said أَخُوهُمْ نُوحٌ, أَخُوهُمْ هُودٌ, أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ, أَخُوهُمْ لُوطٌ. But here we see شُعَيْبٌ. What gives? أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Before we talk about what gives, notice he says the same thing though. إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ. I am to you a messenger, a trustworthy messenger. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Fear Allah and obey me. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. And I'm not asking you for any money. In ajriya illa ala rabbil alameen. All of my reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who will give me that reward. Right? That is not something I'm asking you. So the question now is, what is the reason? Why does Shu'ayb alayhi salam, why isn't he called their brother? There's two explanations given of this. One, Shu'ayb alayhi salam was sent to Madian first. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. In Surah A'raf we find this. So when he sent to Madian, Allah calls him their brother. But when he sent to these people, Ashabul Aika, this is probably not Madian, this is some other city. And he wasn't from them. He wasn't ethnically from Ashabul Aika. So he doesn't call them their brother. Lut alayhi salam was ethnically from that nation. Likewise, Salih. Likewise, Hud. Likewise, Nuh. They were ethnically from the same people. And of course, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. He was ethnically Arab. The people he was calling to were also ethnically Arab. So, he's not of the same ethnicity, so he's not called their brother. He's not called their brother. But there's another reason provided, which is really interesting. Which is that all other people were mentioned by their ethnicities, or related to their prophet. قوم نوحٍ عاد ثمود. عاد and ثمود are their names. قوم نوح, they're associated to نوح عليه السلام. قوم لوط, they're associated to لوط عليه السلام. But here, these people are called أصحاب الأيكة, the people of أيكة. And أيكة was not a tribe. أيكة was a tree that they worshipped. You see the difference. عاد and ثمود are the names of the tribes. That's their race. That's their ethnicity. قوم نوح, قوم لوط, these are the people of نوح and لوط, right? So they're mentioned like that. Ashabul Aika are mentioned by what they worship, the tree that they're worshipping. So when they're mentioned by what they're worshipping, Shu'ayb alayhi salam is not their brother. He's not their brother in faith. Because they're worshipping an idol, he's not their brother in that regards. He could be their brother in ethnicity, he could be their brother in humanity, but he's not their brother when it comes to them worshipping a false god. So, أخوهم is not mentioned. Because Aika, the tree that they worship, was mentioned here. Right? You see how incredibly subtle this is. That Allah is pointing out that, Ya Quraysh, hey Quraysh, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is from you ethnically. But if you don't believe in him, he's not going to be with you. He's not going to be from you anymore. Brotherhood is essentially brotherhood of faith. That's the one that counts. Anything else doesn't really count. SubhanAllah, really powerful. And then he concludes the message by having a very long passage where there is a address to the Prophet ﷺ and Quraysh. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ayah number 192. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. The true soul, the trustworthy soul rather. This is Jibreel. He's the one who brought it down. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ, on your heart. لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ, so you can be from the warners. بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ, ayah number 195. It's in clear Arabic. How can it be borrowed from somebody else if it's in clear Arabic? If I'm borrowing things, like we're translating Quran, we're borrowing things from the Quran here, then the way we speak is, you know, we're inserting Arabic words here and there as you speak. Anybody who tells you a story from a different language, the way the story is told is not going to be pristine English. But if you read a story that's written in English, a great novel or a great story, then that's pristine English. You see? So what Allah is saying, how can this be from somebody else when it is Arabiyyin Mubin? How can it be borrowed when it is in the most pristine Arabic? That's not possible, right? I mean, if it was borrowed, there would have been borrowed words in it. There would have been phrases that were also borrowed. There would have been some stylistic problems. But there's none. There's none. عربي مبين. SubhanAllah. And at the very end of this, Allah comments on the shu'ara. وَالشُعَرَى يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَابُونَ. This is who the surah is named after. Ayah number 224. Shu'ara are the poets. And the poets in the Arabian society were basically today's rappers and rock stars. And, you know, people with 5 million followers on Twitter. Right? The shu'ara were Justin Bieber and everybody put together. SubhanAllah. May Allah forgive us all. So, what's interesting is they were the shu'ara. They were the ones who made public opinion. They would say things that would move the people. People would listen to what they had to say. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments on the shu'ara, particularly here of Quraysh, because they were used as a tool to come up and harm the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah says about them, and you can apply this, by the way, to all the artists of today as well. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ. Don't you see that they roam in every valley? That means that there's a actual physical meaning that they're always going between city to city. That's what artists do, right? They go from place to place, looking for an audience. But also, فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ means that they are actually trying to find anything to capture an audience. So you would see an artist do something outrageous just so that people will talk about that artist. And then there's plenty of examples of that. That something that was 20 years ago not even possible, like not even imaginable for an artist to do, now an artist does it and it's routine. And there's a reason for that. And the one who's kunni wadi yahimun, those uncharted territories, the artist is making music or art, and people stop caring about them after a little while. Then they do something crazy, controversial. Everybody's paying attention to them again. That idea, kulli wadi yahimun, they will go to any point just to get the audience. They will touch any topic. They will break any taboo. They will cross any boundary as long as they get an audience. فِي كُلِّ وَادِ يَهِيمُونَ أَنْ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. And they say things that they don't do. They preach stuff, but they do the exact opposite. Their lifestyle doesn't reflect their lyrics. Or in fact, their life is worse than what they present in their lyrics. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. But they're not all bad. Not all poets are bad. Not all artists are bad either. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who have believed and they do good deeds. And they remember Allah a lot. وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. And they have the ability to stand for the truth. They have a spine. Right? وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَمِي يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Those are the people who are good people. So Surah Shu'ara concludes with that. Surah Naml is very interesting. Surah Naml onwards we see lots of Taseen. Surah Naml begins with Taseen. Surah Qasas, which we'll talk about tomorrow, begins with Taseen Meme. And then we have Surah Shu'ara begins with Taseen Meme. Then you have Surah Naml begins with Taseen. And then you have Surah Qasas 28 that begins with Taseen Meme again. So these three surahs in the middle, you would see that they begin with this. Then after that, you have a group of four surahs that begin with Alif Lam Meme. We'll talk about them, inshallah, tomorrow or the day after. But Surah Naml is interesting. Surah Naml, Naml means the ant. Naml is the ant, right? Not the ant who is related to you. The ant that roams the earth. So that ant, what does the surah have to do with an ant? So this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually describes the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood and Sulaiman, particularly Sulaiman alayhi salam, who had the conversation with the ant and how his army was incredible. Now I remember I said the idea was that the truth is, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to prove the truth of the messengers in these next few surahs. Surah Furqan 25 was about the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Shu'ara, all the prophets. Surah Al-Naml, this one particularly is Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Sulaiman alayhi salam was unique. He was different than all other prophets. He was a king and a prophet. Other prophets were not kings. They were just prophets. They would be actually weaker in society. That's why nobody cared about them. But Sulaiman al-Islam was different. He was actually the king. And not just the king, he was the mightiest king in the history of humanity. So this shows that the truth is not always weak. Sometimes it is weak. Actually, quite often the people of the truth are weak. Most of the prophets were weak people. They didn't have political power. Not weak in their iman or something. Not weak in their personality, but politically they were weak people. But Sulaiman al-Salam is presented as an example where the truth can also be very strong politically. And he's presented as an example of when you have a al-faqih al-amir, was called, right? The ruler who is also very knowledgeable and he fears Allah. That kingdom, that government will be an incredible government. Last time we had it was when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was the governor, who was a great scholar and also an incredibly powerful politician. And his government was one of the best times for the Muslims after the Sahaba, after the Khulafa al-Rashidun. So, subhanAllah, this surah demonstrates that look, the truth is not always weak. Politically speaking, Sulaiman al-Islam is presented as an example, and his power is demonstrated that he could politically overpower another kingdom, the kingdom of the Queen of Sheba. He politically overpowered her, and then when she was politically overpowered, then she accepted Islam at the very end. Ayah number 44, when the story concludes, قِيلَ لَهَا دُخُلِ الصَّرْحِ, she was told to enter الصَّرْح, the palace. So, فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ, when she saw the palace, حَسِبَتْهُ لُجَّةً, she thought the passage to the palace was, you know, covered with water. وَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقِيهَا, she lifted her gown and she started walking towards it. قَالَ إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِّنْ قَوَارِيرٍ, said this is a palace whose floor is made smooth with glass. It was see-through, the floor. SubhanAllah. Imagine the might of Sulaiman alayhi salam. His palace, the floor and the pathway to the palace, that entire floor was made with see-through glass, clear glass. And under that glass was a river. So when this lady, she saw it, she's like, oh, there's a river here, let me pick up my gown so I don't get wet. In fact, she started walking on glass and was told, this is glass, by the way. Right? Like this is, like Sulaiman al-Islam had the most swag of anybody else. And nobody had this much swag. He had like glass floors. Glass floors. So, and when she saw his might and power, his political power, she said, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي, Master, I have wronged myself, وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and I have accepted Islam with Sulaiman. When she saw the incredible riches and the incredible power that Sulaiman al-Islam had, that compelled her to accept Islam. Which tells us that, you know, it's not a bad thing to have nice buildings and big things and power. It's actually good, because most people are impressed by those who have power. Most communities are impressed by the ones who are powerful, who are knowledgeable, and they try to emulate those. When the Muslims were in Spain and they were the dominant force politically speaking in Europe, the Spanish would dress like the Arabs. This is not fiction, this is history. When the Muslim nation was the dominant political force in Europe, the Spaniards, native Spaniards, would dress like the Arabs. Because this is how people work. That you try to emulate the ones who are dominant. So one of the things that we learn from Surah An-Naml is Islam has to be dominant as well. So people can emulate the goodness. You know, at large people can accept it. When it is weak, like the prophets who were politically weak, very few people accepted Islam. Like Nuh alayhi salam was very weak politically. He had no power. So very few people believed in him. Sulaiman alayhi salam was extremely powerful, politically, and an entire, you know, nation accepted Islam because he politically overpowered them. You see? So this is also a very, very important lesson that Surah Naml is teaching us. The truth is not always weak. The truth is not always weak. We'll go back to Surah Al-Furqan. We'll, inshallah, pick up our study from Surah Al-Furqan and study in depth a bit of the ayat, starting from the beginning of the juz, because they're very, very interesting, and there is so much to learn from it. Ayah number 21 says, we'll pick up from here, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. And those who don't expect to meet us, they say, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَ أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا. Why isn't it that we can أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَ? Why can't we just see an angel or some angels? Right, something. If this is special, this message is special, something special should be shown to us. أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا. We should see our Lord. I think I was telling you the story of this guy. I was chatting with him on a forum, and he's like, it would be so easy if just God showed him his face once every year. Everybody would know that, okay, there's a God, and everything will be fine. And I'm saying to myself that you're just silly. You're so silly. What makes you think you can actually see God, first of all? You have the capability of seeing God. You can't even see, like, radioactive waves. And you want to see God? Right? And number two, why should God lower himself to you? Who's the master and who's the slave? Right? You are the one who's supposed to go find him by looking at all the things he's left as clues. Right? He's the master. You look for him and you're the slave. It's not that God is going to come to you. The CEO never comes to greet the new employee who's hired to do coding. Right? He never goes sees that guy because he's just some guy. The employee has to go and seek out the CEO. Right? This is a very rational thing. So, أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا. These are silly things to say. لَقَدْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. The reality is that these people are they think of themselves too highly. God should show his face to us. We're so special. Right? No. وَعَتَوْ عُتُوًا كَبِيرًا. And in fact, they have become very, very insolent, very arrogant. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَ. And Allah tells them, there will be a day you'll see angels, and that day is not going to be fine. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَ لَا بُشْرَى يَوْمَ إِذِلْ لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. There is nothing good on that day for the ones who are criminals. You notice consistently in the Quran, Allah keeps telling us, when the angel comes, it's time to go. It's the angel of death who comes. The angels come with punishment. They don't come and show themselves to strengthen your iman or whatever. This is, you know, to demand angels is basically you're demanding Allah's punishment, so watch out. وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا. And they will say, prevented and accessible, meaning the people who are going to be, they'll be speaking to, they will say, that's it, it's all over for you. When the angels take the soul of a person, the person will be like, just let me go back. Please, please, I'll believe at that moment. And the angels will be like, no, that's it. حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا, it's all over. You're prevented from going back. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we will come. This is on the Day of Judgment. Allah says, we will make all that they have done, haba'an manthura, like, you know, dust, that you take you know, clumps of dust, and you can crush it. Okay, think of it like, you know, the powder toss. You know, person, you know, LeBron just does it, right? He puts the powder on his thing and he does this toss, right? That is that scattered powder, that scattered dust, it goes away within a matter of seconds, right? That is haba'an manthura. All whatever they've done in their life, life's worth of achievements, will be like that powder that's thrown up in the air. Like dispersed and gone, worthless. Because there was no faith, there was no iman. Because all that was done without the basis of faith. Ashabul Jannah, but at the same time, not everybody is going to be suffering. The people of Jannah on that day, خَيْرٌ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَأَحْسَنُ مَقِيلًا. They will be in a very good place. They will be in a very, very good place on that day. Then Allah mentions on the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ. This is the day, the time of the Day of Judgment. You know, there is, when a person dies, their Day of Judgment has already begun. But then the Day of Judgment will begin, people are resurrected, And when they're resurrected, the earth will be turned into a different earth. It will be flattened. And the sky will be, you know, shattered and broken up. That is actually the day of judgment. When that happens, that's when people will be resurrected and they will say, what's going on? Why are the stars falling down? Why are things breaking up? How come I'm alive again? How come I see this person again or that person again? That is the day. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shifts the focus from a person dying and then saying things to the angel to actually the day of judgment when it happens. So, and on that day, like before that day happens, there will be some people on earth. So they will die, and then everybody will be resurrected. And that's when this scene is going to happen. تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ. The sky will be split open. وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا. And from it will come the angels. You want to see angels? Now you will see angels. Angels will start coming in succession. الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ لِرَحْمَانِ. That day, when that happens, true kingdom and authority will be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful. Well, subhanAllah, what an incredible name to use. He's saying on that day he has authority and power. He says it's for Ar-Rahman, the one who is the most merciful. Because he will show mercy to people that day as well. In fact, Allah says in the hadith that if his mercy was divided into 100 parts, of the mercy that he has sent to the earth is one part. 99 parts of it he has kept for this day of judgment. 99 parts of Allah's mercy out of the 100 are kept for the day of judgment. Because that's the time we'll need it the most. And from the one part of mercy that we have is that mercy that all of us have. That love and affection, and we feel for people. Even we feel for an animal that's suffering. Other animals feel for other animals. That, all of that is one part of the 100 parts of Allah's mercy. So he says, وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا. And that will be a very difficult day for the people who are not believers, who did not have faith, correct true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. The day the wrongdoer will bite his hands. يَعَضُّ means to bite. You can just see the way it's pronounced. Somebody is taking a bite out of something. Right? The meaning of a word sometimes is related to the sound. فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا. They will be bounce into it. Gab gaba is like bow bouncing, right? Gab gaba. This is something in Arabic. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. Right? The trumpet is blown. That's a long blow, right? صَاخَّةِ. So there's a sound, there's a phonetic element sometimes, not every time, but sometimes in some words. This is one of those words. عَضَّ is to bite. So this person is biting his hands. He's biting his hands. Why would somebody bite their hands? I remember watching this thing, I don't know what it was, some thing when I was young, where this guy is a scary movie where this guy was, he would go and eat people or something, right? It was ridiculous. And then he would keep the people chained in like a dark room, and the people were, you know, obviously scared out of their minds because they knew they're going to get eaten. So one person escaped. And the way they escaped is they ate their hand, and that other, like their hand was left, you know, like hanging, and then they escaped with like a cut off hand basically, and they ran away, subhanAllah. This is obviously fiction and random things. But you see a person getting to a level of where they would be able to bite their flesh is this level of anxiety. This level is extreme anxiety. What's interesting is this is what the Arabs would say. You know, we bite our fingernails. The Arabs would say they bite their hands. Because this is extreme, like you're so tense. That's all that's on your mind. And this anxiety and tension is because of what's been done in the past and can't be changed. It's already done and it can't be changed. So this person would now be having the amount of regret that is unimaginable. That he's just so intense and intensely caught up, he's actually eating his hand while seeing this. Subhanallah, he's biting his hand, and what does he say? Ya laytani ittakhadhtu ma'a ar-rasuli sabila. Ya laytani. Remember I said layt is to curse yourself. Ya laytani, he's cursing himself. And that shows this is emotional pain and physical pain. That's what he's going through. What happened? اتخذتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. I wish I would have taken a path with the messenger. What's really interesting is he says مَعَ الرَّسُولِ, with the messenger. Maybe he was somebody who actually was a believer, but he didn't really follow the Prophet ﷺ correctly. Maybe he said, oh, there is no hadith and we can't accept hadith. You know people who say that, right? That hadith are not to be used in legislation, only Quran. The word used here is ma'a ar-rasul. Or this person could be somebody who never believed in the messenger while seeing the messenger, or heard the messenger or received the message and never paid heed. And at that point there will be such intense regret that this person will be cursing himself. And his cursing doesn't stop. He says, ya waylata, or she said, ya waylata. Wail is even stronger. Waylata, cursing himself or herself even more. Laytani, again, three times. Do you notice that? Three times that word came. Lam attakhidh fulanan khadila. What happened? Why are you cursing yourself? What is it that you regret so much in life? I wish I had not taken this person as a friend. Just a friend caused them to lose their way in life. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. What did this friend do? He took me away from the remembrance after it had come to me. I knew about the Qur'an. I knew about the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I knew what it meant to be a good person. I knew what is ethics and morality as the Messenger taught me. Yet this man, or this friend, told me, it's okay, let's just go have some fun. No big deal. It's okay, she's just, you know, it's just love between you and her. It's all good. Let's just have some good time. Let's, you know, enjoy life. And before you know it, it's all over. And now this person is cursing himself. Three times he noticed he cursed himself. Because that one person who distracted him or her and took him away. The importance of being with good people cannot be underestimated. The Prophet ﷺ said that المرء على دين خليله. A person is on the faith or the lifestyle of his best friend. Deen is also lifestyle, right? If your friend is dressing a particular way, you would dress that way, right? I used to have friends who were very much into playing cricket, and guess what I did? I played cricket when I was with them. And then I had friends who were very much into playing squash, and then I would play squash. And I had friends who were into playing basketball, and I'd play basketball. Because that's what you do. You, whatever you have as friends, you do what your friends are doing. So, what's really interesting is المرء على دين خليله. A person is on the lifestyle of his best friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِدْ. So, all of us should be very careful in who we pick as our best friends. Very, very pertinent advice from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, and the Messenger ﷺ would say on that day, يَا رَبِّي, يَا اللَّهُ, Master, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. My people took this book and they abandoned it. They put it on the shelf and it's shiny and looks really awesome. They downloaded the app but they never opened the app. It looks really beautiful on the shelves and it was taken out when somebody died or somebody needed a job or somebody got married. But it wasn't used to get guidance. It wasn't used to help people navigate life. Mahjura, it was just left abandoned. And he would complain, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the Day of Judgment about this. وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا من المجرمين وكفى بربك هاديا ونصيرا. And Allah says, this is how things work. This is the how it's going to work on the Day of Judgment. And people who were enemies of the Prophet, you know, they were enemies in dunya, and then the Day of Judgment they will regret it. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. But your master is sufficient as a guide and a helper. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. How come this book is not sent down in one shot? Now this is a good criticism. This is something to at least consider, because if you look at an artist, what happens with an artist is that the artist generally does not give up all of his or her art in one shot. They will maybe read some poem or some spoken word or something first, and then a few days later you'll have one more, a few years later you'll have something else. It's a process that takes years. So the Quraysh are saying the same thing. How come he is not, if he's really a prophet and not a poet, how come he acts like a poet? And the poet comes and says, you know, some poetry, then goes away, comes back again, says some poetry, goes away. And they say, how come he's doing the same thing? That means he's a poet. And to this day, if you read Orientalist criticism of Quran, Orientalism is people who are not Muslims, but they study Islam for a living, academically. They would say, this idea of the Quran not being revealed in one shot increases the probability of the Quran being corrupted. So this is a question that is asked to this day, and Allah answers the question. He says, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادُكَ. The question of corruption, by the way, was answered before. We skipped that answer, but I'll mention to you that the corruption of it is something we talked about this in Surah Hijr that day, the preservation, how its oral preservation is so incredible that if you were to count up the odds, just probability-wise, it's almost impossible for the Quran to be preserved orally. But it was. There's no discrepancy. And in the text, the first written Mus'haf you can find, compiled, and today's Mus'haf, if you can read that old Arabic, it's the same spelling exactly. There's no discrepancy, despite the fact it was revealed piecemeal. This is a miracle from Allah, because Allah said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." On two levels it was preserved. It's unprecedented in history. And the oral preservation is even more astonishing, because that is the weakest, or the place where there's most chances of error. But there were none, historically. To this day, all of us read it the same way, as long as we know how to read it. It's incredible. So that was answered in another surah. But this idea of, you know, نُثَبِّتَ بِهِ, why is it piecemeal? Allah answers the question here and He says, this is so that we can نُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We can give you strength. Your heart, we can give your heart firmness. Because if all of it was revealed in one shot, then when life gets hard for the Prophet ﷺ, he would have to go back and search. But as he's navigating prophethood, as he's navigating this process of giving da'wah, calling people to Islam, and facing difficulties, as the Qur'an is revealed to him, it puts things in context every time it's revealed. It makes him steady and keeps him firm every time it's revealed. وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. And we have, you can mean to recite it really beautifully, or رَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا is that it's been spaced. Like it comes on in a good, even pace. Now, the question is, this is how Allah SWT did it. He could have revealed the Qur'an all in one shot. There's surahs that are revealed, that are big surahs, like Surah An'am, Surah Yusuf, these are big surahs that were revealed in one shot. So it's not something that is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He chose to make this decision. And the lesson for us that's really interesting here is that for us, we have to have this ongoing connection with the Qur'an on a daily, weekly basis. So just like it was revealed over time, we learn it and we receive it over time as well. So that as we go through the ups and downs of life, the ayat, can come in and put things in perspective for us. This is really important. To get a daily dosage of Qur'an is critical. Because life is different day to day. And we're feeling some emotions one day and other emotions the other day. So having a daily dose of Qur'an is so important. Because Allah said, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. This piecemeal, you know, dosages of Qur'an was there to make the Prophet ﷺ's heart firm. To keep him steady. And if he needed to be steadied, then most definitely we need it too. So, the lesson for us is that we have to study it too. And it can't just be, let me just study all of it once, and then I can just gonna put it away, you know, on the shelf. That's something we do with physics and math and other subjects. You study it once, and that's it, it's done. Now you move on to other things in life. But the Qur'an has to be a continual study. Piecemeal, you know, small dosages over time. Because circumstances changes. Ibn Taymiyyah said that when he was in prison at the end of his life, he said that in prison, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me and given me access to understanding of Qur'an that I never had in my life before. And he said, I wish I spent my entire life just studying Qur'an. This is Shaykh al-Islam who basically mastered like 5 sciences. He had like 5 PhDs. And he said, all I wish I had done was just focus on Qur'an. You know why I'm mentioning this? It's because when he was put in that situation, a whole lifetime of experience, of knowledge, of struggle, of, you know, facing adversity, and then finally again back in prison, his life experiences were so rich that when he read the same words he read as a child, now new meanings emerged that he made new connections that he never made before. Doesn't mean the words changed. The words are still the same. Just new connections that he made with experiences that he never made before. This is the point of the Qur'an. That's why when it's done piecemeal, continually, then the experience is very organic. We grow, and as we grow, the Qur'an is there to put things in perspective. We grow with the Qur'an. This is a really, really incredible point of the ayah that it makes نُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, to make the hearts firm. وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا. And they don't bring you any example except that we bring you a better example. Or in fact, إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ, we bring you the truth. وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا, and the best explanation for it. Then Allah mentions that He gave Musa al-Islam the book as a historical evidence. And Musa al-Islam was given the book by Allah, Muhammad s.a.w. has given the book by Allah. Musa received it in one shot. You see? If Allah wanted to give Muhammad s.a.w. the book in one shot, he could have done so, but he didn't do it. Right? So, فَقُلْ, and he told him about the da'wah that Musa al-Islam made, فَقُلْ نَذْهَبَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا فَدَمَّرْنَاهُمْ تَدْمِيرًا. But they didn't listen, so they were totally destroyed. Nuh al-Islam's people, كَذَّبُ الرُّسُلُ, when they called the messengers liars, أغرقناهم, we drowned them. Interesting, the usage of the word الرسل, the messengers. Nuh a.s. was the first Rasul. Right? So their nation never saw any other messenger but him. But Allah says, they called the messengers liars. Because you call one of them a liar, you're calling all of them a liar. Because the message has been unified. It's a unified message. If you say one messenger is a liar, that means the message is a lie. That means everyone who's preaching the message is a liar. So this idea of كَذَّبُ الرُّسُلُ is a really powerful idea. أَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ آيَةً, and we made them an ayah, a sign for people to look at and get some understanding from. وَعَتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, and generally the people who are wrongdoers, for them we have prepared a very painful punishment. And Aad and Thamud and Ashab al-Ras. Ashab al-Ras were also a people, we don't know much about them in reality. We really don't know much about them. There's narrations here and there, but Allah knows best who they were. But He mentions them here anyway, Ashab al-Ras. وَقُرُونًا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا, and many, many, many other generations that no one really knows about. History is unaware of their existence. And Allah says, وَكُلًّا ضَرَبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ, everyone We gave them examples. وَكُلَّن تَبَّرْنَا تَدْبِيرًا Gave them examples, gave them reasons to believe. And when they didn't believe, everyone was destroyed totally. This is a historical precedence. When the Rasul is not believed in, their nation are wiped out. Except when Muhammad ﷺ. He was a Rasul, and his nation did not believe, and they weren't wiped away with like an earthquake, or a flood, or a shriek of something. They were given a chance to believe, or they were killed in battle, the ones who didn't believe, or they chose to leave the peninsula. But they weren't destroyed, like, you know, en masse, like these other nations were. Because the Messenger ﷺ inherently was a mercy. So he was inherently a mercy. مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Now, this is interesting. After this, there's one ayah that's very, very interesting. Allah says, وَأَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى Have you seen the one who takes his desires to be his God? أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Will you, Ya Rasulullah, come and, you know, try to help him on the Day of Judgment? This kind of person? Will you be responsible for their well-being once they started to worship themselves? What does this ayah mean? There's many ways to look at this ayah, but the one understanding that's really good is the idea of worship is to lower ourselves. I mentioned this yesterday with the relation of the people of Fir'aun. When Fir'aun called, فَقَوْمُهُمَا لَنَا عَابِدُونَ Their nation, Musa and Harun's nation, are abid, are worshippers. But Musa and Bani Israel never really worshipped Fir'aun. They were under Fir'aun's total authority. Right? So accepting someone's authority or following someone and taking someone as an utmost authority, that is one of the essences of worship. You are lowered, the person who is your ilah is high. Their authority, you are the ones who are under the authority. You see? That's the idea. So, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى That this person, his or her desires, what they want, right? YOLO. Unfortunately, we see this, right? This idea of just I'm going to do whatever I want to do because I'm going to only live once. This idea is so destructive because Allah says this person is now starting to worship himself as a god. Because whatever he wants or she wants, that's what he or she does. So it's as if that he or she is under the authority of the wants and desires. And that's the essence of worship. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that if somebody makes a mistake or does some sins, that all of a sudden they're worshipping themselves. It's not the case, right? But here is somebody whose life is dictated by just doing what they feel like doing. It's doing what they want to do. And unfortunately, we see more and more of people like this who just, you know, do whatever they want to do. They feel like eating, they go eat. They feel like doing something profane, they go and pay a girl and they do whatever they need to do. They feel like drinking and getting high, they go drink and get high. And they go crash to bed and that's it. They wake up next day, cycle repeats. That kind of person is just taken over by desire. This is what Allah is saying about them. Allah says, "But تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ Do you think most of them actually listen or understand? إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ Now this ayah cannot be misunderstood, by the way. They are not except livestock, بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا Rather, they're even more astray. Now this is in the context of the person who, the ayah before was talking about somebody who is totally under the authority of what he wants to do. Right? So what's the difference between that person and a cattle, like a cow or a sheep? That's what a cow or a sheep does anyway as well. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا They're actually worse because a cow and a sheep actually doesn't have free will. They're just cattle. They're just animals. This person is a human being. He's honored. He's got an intellect. He's got free will. He's got the ability to make decisions and choices. He's got a moral compass. A cow does not have a moral compass. So, this person having all of this still acts like a cow. Definitely is worse than a cow then. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Even worse then. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَيْفَ مَدَّ الظِّلْ. Allah gives a few examples of what He has created to give us an idea of how powerful He is. If you want to recognize who our Master is, we look around us. He says, don't you see how the shade extends itself? It's a really powerful idea. The shade extending itself as the sun moves. Things are changing, and with it there is change as well. And then he says, also, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. He's made the night for you libasan. The translation says clothing, which is a good translation. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا. And sleeping as a means of recharging. To recharge. And how amazing, subhanAllah, that when we go to sleep, we're tired and exhausted, and when we wake up, refreshed, ready to go again. These are signs of Allah. We have to think about it. And even the idea of falling asleep, how we go into a deep sleep and that recharges us, these are powerful things to think about. How Allah has created this system for us. And وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا. And the day is made nushura, and it says resurrection, which doesn't make any sense. But it means more that to nashara is to spread out, because people go out to work in the day. So it's really amazing that people go out to work in the day, crazy traffic, and then return back at night, crazy traffic. But at night there is peace, generally speaking, unless the highways are, the lanes are closed or something. Generally there's peace, the roads are open, no one's out on the streets, people are at home, they're resting and recharging. The system of life is, Allah has made the system for us. The day and night He made, the system He put in place for it, and according to that He made us adapt to that as well. So, and anybody who tries to live an opposite life, anybody who works nights, it's so difficult, it's so stressful to be able to stay awake at night and sleep during the day. It's a stressful lifestyle. It's not, because it's not natural. This is the way Allah has made the natural lifestyle. Of course, if situation demands it, then we have to do it. I'm not saying that it's haram or something, but just naturally speaking, it's not the way it works. So Allah lays out for us what is natural, and He also mentions وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِي. He's the one who sends out the winds to give the good news of the rain. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. And then from the sky comes pure water. What does this water do? لِنُحْيَ بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا. So we can give life to a dead piece of earth. فَنُسْقِيَهُ مِمَّا خَلَقْنَا أَنْعَامًا وَأَنَاسِيَّ كَثِيرًا. And so that we can give water to lots of an'aman, to cattle, وَأَنَاسِيَّ كَثِيرًا, and lots of people. That Allah is the one who takes care of our sleeping. He takes care of our lifestyle. He's the one who takes care of our most fundamental needs. Water. The most fundamental need of a human being is water. And above that is food. A person can survive without food for a few days. They can't survive without water for more than, I think 36 hours or something. And that person dies of dehydration. Or maybe 48 or 50 hours or something. But the time limit, the water is far more essential than food. So the most fundamental need Allah mentions, He takes care of us for that as well. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ لِيَذَّكَّرُوا. And we have given multiple examples in multiple ways so that they can think. فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. But most people just refuse to believe. Most people just refuse to believe, or most people refuse to think. Kufur is also, kufr is also to not be thankful, to show ingratitude. Like the Prophet said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ. One of the things, I forgot the entire dua. مِنَ الْكُفْرِ. And there he's not asking Allah for protection from disbelief, because it's unimaginable the Prophet would have disbelief. He's asking Allah's protection from ingratitude. The worst form of ingratitude is when you say you don't believe in Allah. But kufr itself is, not showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this also is, all these examples are given so we can recognize Allah and we can thank Him. Thank you, Allah, for giving us all of this, for making life easy for us. for creating the system for us. But most people don't do that. They're not thankful to Allah for it, they take it for granted. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. If we had wanted, he would have sent to every single town a messenger. If Allah had chosen to send a messenger to every single town, he would have done so. Every single year or every single town would have received their own messenger. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to do that. It was his choice. He calls the shots, we don't. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. So do not come totally become under the authority of the disbelievers. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And strive against them with what? بِهِ, with it. With it being what here? With the Qur'an. The message of the Qur'an, giving the message of the Qur'an, Allah calls it a type of a jihad. To convey the message of the Qur'an is called a type of a jihad. Jihadan kabira, a great jihad, a big jihad. To convey the message of the book. Because it is the thing that takes people out of darkness, perpetual darkness. Darkness of oppression, darkness of addictions, darkness of injustice and immorality to the light. That's what it brings them to. So, this is a great and a big jihad. وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. Some more examples. He is the one who brings together the two seas. One is the sea, and the other is when the river is washing into the sea. They're merging, converging here. هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ. This one is fresh and sweet, the river. وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ. And this is salty. And not palatable, the seawater. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا وَحِجَرًا مَحْجُورًا. And he made between them and a barrier. And you see this today as well. If you go see, I think, we don't live near the ocean, but if you go to a place, for example, Egypt has it, where the Nile washes into the Mediterranean Sea, right? That place, you can go and actually go and, you know, just dive into there. And you can see this, that there is a barrier that you can actually see that's there, subhanAllah, between the two, the seas. And what's fascinating, the Prophet ﷺ never saw the sea in his life. He never saw the sea in his life. He always traveled through land. If the Prophet ﷺ could describe it like this, either he was a deep sea diver, or either is revelation. Right? This doesn't make sense. There was no YouTube back in the day, right? It wasn't that he could read a book about it. He couldn't even read in the first place. And it's not that this was well-known information, because the Arabs didn't live next to this. They didn't live next to a body of water that flowed into the sea. They lived next to the canal. I forgot the name, subhanAllah. But they didn't live next to a river that flowed into the sea. So actually, that wasn't, even in Arabia, you wouldn't be able to see that. You had to like travel to different places like Africa or other parts of the world to be able to see this and then be able to describe it. But the Prophet ﷺ describing it, this is a miracle. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And we know now, because they don't mix, because there is a difference in densities. Salty water is more dense, fresh water is not as dense. So that's why they don't mix. We know the understanding why that happens. But it happens, subhanAllah, undeniably. So, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَقًا وَحِجَرًا مَحْجُورًا. If, can somebody just open the door so that some of the cold wind can just go out, because mashallah, it is becoming very cold in here. Alhamdulillah. Could you leave the door open, please? Jazakallah khair. Just leave the door open. Now, he also mentions, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. He created from water human beings. This could mean that our origin of creation is water. Most of our existence is through water. Also, al-ma is sometimes referred to the drop of sperm. In Arabic, you can call it like that. مِمَّا الرَّجُلِ, from the water of the man, from the sperm of the man. So, it could be that he's created human beings from the sperm and the fertilized egg, and that is also a correct understanding. فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا. So he has a lineage, DNA, from the mother and the father. وَصِهْرًا. And he has, you know, connections through marriage. When a person marries into a family, now his or and the man's DNA and the woman's DNA, they mix together and they create the next offspring. And now through that offspring, that man is related to the parents of the mother, for example, and vice versa. So relationships are forged by lineage and also through marriage. And this is a sign of Allah. He presents this as a sign that you guys are interdependent. Everything is interdependent. You depend on each other to create, to procreate. وَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ قَدِيرًا. And your master has always been able to do whatever he wants. A lot of times Allah shows our interdependence on other things as a sign of our weakness, of our nature, and to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally free of that. He has no dependence on anything. He has no dependence on anybody or anything. And despite all these great signs, Allah, this وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, they worship besides Allah, مَا لَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَا يَضُرُّهُمْ, what does not give them any benefit, what does not harm them. If they're getting sick, that sickness is going to be there until Allah takes it away. وَلَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَكَانَ الْكَافِرُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ ظَهِيرًا, and the disbeliever is always against his master. You know, he's always against his master. Now, Allah mentions something. We're going to skip to the end of this surah because this is really important. It says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ, when it is said to them, make sajda to Ar-Rahman. And sajda is to make the sajda that we know. It also means to lower yourself. Because when we do sajda, we lower our face to the ground, right? So when it is said to them, that make sajda to the Most Merciful, قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ, they said, what is the Most Merciful? Who is this Most Merciful? Because the Quraysh refused to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Ar-Rahman. أَنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا, and they say, should we make worse sajda to the one that you are telling us to make sajda to? وَزَادَهُمْ نُفُورًا, and they increase in aversion. Because here's something, you know, this is sometimes that happens with people, that you may know something is right, but someone is telling you to do it, and you refuse to do it because they're saying it. Happens between siblings. One of the siblings says, you know, you need to clean your room, and you know you need to clean your room, but because she said it, you're like, I'm not doing it. Right? Because doing it after she has said it means I'm, you know, obeying her. I'm under her authority or command in some way. I've listened to her. She's better than me. You see? This is a human thing. So, لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا, you want us to make sajda? We'll make sajda, but not because you're telling us to make sajda. This is sometimes, you know, ego of a human being. That we're not going to make sajda because you're telling us. If we start making sajda to Ar-Rahman now, that means we're under your command. And we're not doing that. So this is a very big thing. The idea of the ego. That it comes, it hamstrings people. And all of us have to work on it. All of us have an ego. And all of us have to overcome it. What's next is really incredible. Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا. He is the one, blessed is the one who placed in the sky burujan, many stars, great stars. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا سِرَاجًا, and he placed therein a burning lamp. Siraj is something that gives, the lamp that gives off light. Hot light, because we know the sun has, you know, nuclear fission and fusion, and it gives off, it creates the heat that it gives off and the light that it gives off. وَقَمَرًا مُنِيرًا, and a luminous moon, it reflects nur. قَمَرًا مُنِيرًا, أَنَارَ يُنِيرُ, is to reflect light, to be cool light. So, really beautiful description between the two. And you find this distinguishing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguishes like this between the sun and the moon very constantly, to show the precision of the message. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً, he is the one who created the night and the day خِلْفَةً in succession. They come one after the other, and they keep coming one after the other. The system of the earth rotating, the earth going around the sun, right? He's the one who created this whole system. When he says خِلْفَةً, because all of this happens because of the earth rotating around its axis and the earth going around the sun. seasons and the days. خِلْفَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يَذَّكَّرَ, for the one who wants to remember, who wants to make some connections, who wants to ponder. أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا, or he wants to become thankful to Allah. Recognize his blessings and greatness and then thank Allah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, and the servants of the Most Merciful. They are the ones, they walk on the earth هَوْنًا. They walk easily, they walk humbly. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when a person who is ignorant, jahil is somebody who is ignorant, and jahil is somebody who is emotional. Like a bully is emotional, irrationally emotional. That person, when they start to trash talk them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا, they say salam. And salam is a representation of good things. Salam, it's not just they say assalamu alaikum and that's all they're saying, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Salaman means that they are saying good things. إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. What's fascinating is I mentioned that how Quraysh refused because of their ego. أَنَسْجُدُ لِمَا تَأْمُرُونَ. Their ego came in the way of worshipping Allah. Now Allah is presenting an example of people who have overcome their ego. Who have overcome their ego. And there's two signs of them overcoming their ego in this ayah. Number one, they walk in a humble, gentle manner. They don't walk like they own the earth. And the second is that when somebody stirs them up, somebody who is irrational, somebody who is emotional, trash-talking them, generally in that situation, a person's ego overcomes them, you know. And even, you know, you're going to let him say that to you? You're going to let that pass? Those people who say these kind of things to stir up a person, so they will say something irrational, that's a person's ego acting up. So they have actually conquered their ego. Because when someone stirs them up to try to get them in to say something bad, they say salaman. They say, we want nothing of this, you know. You go your way and we'll go our way. Salaman means peace. Literally, but salaman is they say good things. They say good things, subhanAllah, even when they are stirred. SubhanAllah, really beautiful. And their humility and their conquering of the ego is not just between the way they interact with people, it's also on a personal level. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. They spent the night for the sake of their master, سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. May Allah make us of people like this who spend their nights worshipping Him. Who in prostration and standing. And this is Qiyamul Layl, that there is long standing in Qiyamul Layl and there is long sujood in Qiyamul Layl. This is the essence of a good Qiyamul Layl. By the way, I mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned earlier that وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ, when it is said to them, make sajda to Ar-Rahman, قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ, they say, who is Ar-Rahman? And to prove, to show who Ar-Rahman is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out Ibadur Rahman, the ones who are the slaves of Ar-Rahman. You want to know who Allah is? Go look at the people who are truly worshipping Allah. They will tell you about who Allah is. You want to know that this message is the truth? Go look at the people who truly follow the message. Because all the good that's coming out of them, them conquering their ego, shows you that them conquering the ego because of what they've learned in scripture, shows you the scripture is the truth. It's an incredible thing. And it works backwards as well. It works the other way. That when people are Muslims and they don't practice Islam correctly, or they do bad things while they are Muslims, and worse is when they're practicing Muslims, they're making sajda and qiyam, but they're not really, their ego is not conquered yet. Their ego hasn't been conquered, so they frequently get into trouble with people. That's even worse because people are like, what kind of book is this? What kind of message is this that preaches and makes this kind of people? It's a tragedy. But here Allah is pointing out the best case scenario of these people who are exemplary people. Who are exemplary, and they're so exemplary that Allah is using them as a proof of the truth of the message. And as a means to recognize who he is. And also, as another point that's subtle, is when these ayat were revealed, Who were the Ibadur Rahman? The Sahaba, right? When these ayat were revealed, the Sahaba were the ones who were doing this. It was Abu Bakr who was confronted in the street and he would say salam and he would go his way. It was Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman who would stand at night and they would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was them. So it is actually a description of role model believers. It is also a description of the Sahaba and a praise of the Sahaba. It's also a praise of the Sahaba. Because they're also role models for us. Like Umar radiallahu anhu said that when the mention of the salihin, of the righteous, tanzilur rahmah, mercy descends when the righteous are mentioned. And this is a true statement, because when we study the lives of the Sahaba, we feel at ease because they are role models. They are the ones, ibadur rahman, that Allah was talking about. We use them to recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He says after that, they are making long sajdas, prostrations that are long, and they're standing at night, and what are they doing in their prayers? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. They're saying that, Master, our Master, take away from us, avert from us the punishment of Jahannam. They're asking Allah's protection from Jahannam. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Its punishment is always going to stick. A ghareem is somebody who is in debt. That debt is going to stick to that person until they die, unless they pay it off. Right? But the person's debt sticks to them. So كَانَ غَرَامًا, its punishment sticks, it sticks there. You can't, there's no escaping from it. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا. It's an evil place. مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا. For مُقَام, for just standing for a little bit. مُسْتَقَر, to stay for a long time. In the dunya, if we are forced to live in a bad neighborhood for a couple of months or for a year or something, we can tolerate that. It's okay. And if we're living in a great neighborhood for forever, then we actually start losing appreciation for it. In Jahannam, Allah says, سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا. Even a moment in it is no good. And how much worse is it if a person is living in it forever? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. These are the ones who are not just focused on their prayers, but they're also concerned about the welfare of others. So what is it that they do? أَنفَقُوا, they spend. But when they're spending, they don't spend until they become bankrupt. They don't do that. لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. They're not excessive and they don't do it sparingly. It's not giving everything away. It's not giving nothing away. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. It's just in between. It's finding the right place, the happy median. And that depends on situation. Person will naturally give more when they have more. And when they have less, they will reduce what they give. Naturally, because they want to make sure other needs are met. So, وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرًا. Now, in this, Allah mentions three major sins that these people never do. They stay away from it. لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرًا. They do not make dua to anybody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, making dua to somebody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a synonym for worship. Because the Prophet said, الدُعَاءُ وَالْعِبَادَةُ. So, the crux of worship, which is dua and personal connection, they don't do that with anybody but Allah. Because Allah is directly approachable. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسِ. And they don't kill anybody. إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Of course, if it is under the framework of the penal code of Islam, within the justice system of Islam, when it comes to taking due right, due process, that's fine. But the sanctity of life is never violated. It's not violated. And life has sanctity. Every life has sanctity. The Prophet ﷺ said that the one who kills a mu'ahad is somebody who is basically a citizen, or is somebody who is a non-Muslim, but is a citizen of a non-Muslim state, where the non-Muslim state and the Muslim caliphate had an agreement with them. So there was a peace treaty, and that citizen of the other state if he is killed, then the Prophet said that that person who kills that that disbeliever, he won't even smell the scent of Jannah. And this is basically the majority of the non-Muslims today, who are mu'ahadeen. Right? The mu'ahada is the passport, is the citizenship. So life has sanctity, and of course the life of a believer has even greater sanctity. Because there's only two places in the Quran that Allah tells people that they will be in the hellfire forever for a sin. One of the two is killing a believer knowingly. وَغَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. It's such a severe thing. It's such a... like the Prophet said, that the downfall of the entire dunya is easier to bear in the eyes of Allah than the killing of a single believer. The sanctity of the life of a single believer. And these words seem like they're fairy tales, because believers are killed like left, right and center. But this is the original starting point. The sanctity of life. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they do not engage in adultery, in fallacious affairs. وَيَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. The one who does this shall meet a very severe penalty. What is that penalty in particular? يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The punishment will be increased for them on the Day of Judgment. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And they will remain in it forever. We'll conclude with the statement of Allah, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. This person has committed adultery, which is one of the greatest sins. But Allah says, the one who commits adultery, this is one of the three major sins, right, that are mentioned. Everything is below them. This guy does this, but then he does tawbah. He accepts he made a mistake, he turns to Allah and apologizes. وَآمَنَ, and renews his faith. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, and does one good deed. Just begins by doing one good deed. عَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. It's mentioned in singular. عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then for this person who's made this intention to turn the life around, to leave the past and eradicate it, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That Allah will turn all their bad deeds into good deeds. It's unbelievable. It's not just that He will forgive their bad deeds. No, He will turn all the bad deeds into good deeds. Like a person has a mountain of bad deeds, and they just accept they made a mistake, or conquer the ego. They renew their faith with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they start doing good. Even if it's small and minuscule, but it's good. That is all that's needed to turn all that bad into good. And they continue doing that. And then, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah has always been forgiving and merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this kind of tawbah, and then that He make us from the Ibadur Rahman, and then He turns our bad deeds into good deeds. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. We'll vent over time a little bit, but I wanted to at least conclude the passage. Any questions or anything we'll take now, otherwise inshallah we'll conclude. So question online. The surah is Surah Shu'ara. No, Surah Shu'ara was for today. We just skimmed over it in the beginning, and that was that, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Otherwise we'll end. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahu alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Jazakallahu khairan.
Barakallahu. To confirm that one you have said, I have on the seas,
Subhanallah.
On Indiana.
Subhanallah.
And then he never knew anything about Islam, but he came over to Indiana.
Yes.
And he said,
one surah
of the Prophet alayhi salatu
wasalam.
He said, Durumatu fi bahrin lujjay.
Bahrin lujjay, yakshahu
mawjun. And he cannot even see the hand, and he asked someone